What's up?
Hello, hello, hello.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Tired. Very tired.
Late night?
I've worked for the last 7 days straight.
Why?
You know, America's hard.
Sure, blame the country.
Country first.
Are you still working or are you off now for the next few days?
I'm off. I took off Monday, so I'm off the next couple days. I'm off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Well, you're doing essential work.
You bet I am. Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Buongiorno.
Hello, everyone.
Wouldn't it be funny if I pronounced your name differently?
Or if you asked me how to pronounce my
name?
Like,
I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here with Anthony Bongarino.
I've gotten that.
Bongarino? I've
gotten Bongarino.
That's a big... I feel like that's a lazy one, because it's like you're just seeing consonants and just coming up with something.
I just love when people ask me if I know what my last name means. You get that a lot?
Yeah. I've never had this conversation before. Tell me what it means. And a lot of people get it wrong.
They say, oh, that means good day in French.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, that's no. Bonjour.
But. Yeah. Well, they say it means hello, good morning. It's like, no, it doesn't. It just means good day.
Right.
Good fucking day. This is PCMC. This is a podcast about pop culture, movies, TV, video games, toys,
and the like,
retro stuff, but also future stuff.
No present stuff allowed.
No present stuff allowed. We come out every Wednesday. Some episodes are full episodes that have three segments where there's news, chill sesh, and current obsessions. And then there are themed episodes. Recently, I did a themed episode on The Last of Us Part 2. It's very good. It's very deep.
Are you saying The Last of Us Part 2 is very good and very deep, or your episode?
No,
is
my episode. Very deep. My episode is very deep. Very good. So, Anthony, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there in these times. What else can you say?
Well, you want to have some news? You want to get a little bit of news?
Let's head to the news desk.
A little bit of newsy? A little bit of newsies. Billy Eichner, who I'm a fan of.
I'm a huge fan. Please don't tell me this is bad news.
No, it's not. Billy Eichner to play Paul Lynde in Man in the Box, about gifted actor stigmatized for being gay. I believe he's also producing the film.
Hmm. Is this going to be his first foray into drama?
No, he's done drama with fucking...
American Horror Story?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's campy, though, still.
Yeah, I guess.
So this is going to be like a biopic.
Yeah, I believe so.
About Paul Lynde. I wonder, he must do a really good Paul Lynde impression.
I mean, for him, it seems like he's behind this project. So.
Yeah.
Actor-comedian, I'm reading from Deadline. Actor-comedian Billy Eichner and producer Tom McNulty are developing Man in the Box, a biopic based on the life of groundbreaking TV icon Paul Lynde. Eichner plans to star. I love Paul Lynde. Do you ever see Paul Lynde Halloween special?
No.
It's wild.
I'm only familiar with his work in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
And Hollywood Squares. And Roasts. Various Roasts.
What about Charlotte's Web?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forget he's in Charlotte's Web. He's the rat, right?
Yeah, you bet he is.
That's a character that doesn't even exist in the book, I think.
Really?
I think they created it just for Paul Lynde.
Good for him. What... It's hard for people to nowadays understand about Paul Lynde is that he was a closeted gay actor, yet his comedic persona was a gay man. Like, he was both out and not simultaneously.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, was there a... He never said he was gay.
Right.
Right? Especially not during, like, the 60s and 70s. No. I don't know about later.
Right.
But, like, was there a single viewer at home that didn't know?
Well, that was his comedic persona.
Right. It was so overt, but never said.
Yeah, like... I remember like Hollywood Squares, like, you know, it was all like innuendos and jokes and stuff. And like one of the question was like, if it's a ship full of male sailors and the one female goes overboard, what does the captain say? And he's like, full steam ahead, which is the way he talked. You know, what does that joke mean other than we don't need the one female here, right? So. But you know, it was so. It's a weird. I'm not gay, so I can't give a history lesson here. But from what I understand, like, coming out is like, now we think of it as a very simple thing. Is like, you come out and you tell your your family. Right. And the people, whereas like there were different levels before
because
there was legal issues.
Right.
You could be arrested or you could lose your job. So you could be out but not officially out.
Right.
Or you could be Poland where like your comedic persona is that you're a gay man,
wow,
but you're not really out, but also no one doesn't know that you're gay.
Well, I was a big fan of Bye Bye Birdie as a kid, and I didn't get like what brilliant, funny casting it was to cast him as like a suburban dad.
Right. right. But he's also great in that.
He's great. That, first of all, that movie's amazing. And he's great. Yeah.
You got to see the Halloween special because, first of all, it's insane.
It sounds like an SNL skit. This is real.
It feels like an SNL skit. It was, here's some, the guest star is Kiss.
The entire band?
Yes, Kiss.
In full makeup? Or
yeah,
was this,
of course, okay, in full makeup. Yeah. And they sing songs. And also Margaret Hamilton, the actress who played the Wicked Witch of the West.
Were they friends?
I guess. And of course she dresses as the Wicked Witch.
That tracks.
And but the best part, if you like Bye Bye Birdie, is the best part is there's a little sketch where like kids are like they're trick-or-treating and then they're like fucking with him and he sings Kids from Bye Bye Birdie. Kids,
yeah.
What we do with these kids today?
It's a great song.
Kids. So he sings one of the hits. It's wild.
Well, it was
wild.
Like a network special.
Yeah, it was like NBC presents the Poland Halloween special.
Why don't we still do those?
I fucking wish we did.
Didn't they just do
Netflix
like
Netflix tries to do like they did the Bill Murray Christmas special.
Yeah, I was going to say. And I think, wasn't there like a John Legend, Chrissy Teigen special?
There was wasn't there like a Michael Bolton Valentine's Day special?
Oh, God, I don't know about that.
But it was like...
Recently?
But it was like produced by Lonely Island, and it was like
ironic.
Tongue-in-cheek,
yeah.
Yeah, it was Netflix. I might be totally wrong on
I know this. In the early aughts, there was a Nick and Jessica Simpson Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dolly Parton used to do Christmas special, like, a lot in the 90s,
you know,
and stuff.
Dolly, if we could just stop for a second. Dolly Parton is a gem.
Please.
And I know she's been around forever, but I feel like she's one of those people like Betty White where like she's always had a following, but now everybody's just like, she's amazing. She's an icon.
Right.
We love her.
Well, yeah, because she's just like, she's just lasted. She's had no scandals. She gives a lot to charity. She's sort of like made her own
brand.
She's
a great person. Yeah.
She's good to other artists.
She's Miley Cyrus's godmother.
Is that right?
Yes. And they did a duet together a couple years ago.
That's insane. That's amazing. She's great. All right, your dog is chewing on my laces. Is that a thing she does?
That's a thing she does.
Maisie. Hey, Maisie.
My dog Maisie is an icon as well.
Yeah, I see you. All right, okay, you keep doing that, I guess. So, and I love Billy Eichner.
Yeah, I think this will be a good project.
He was recently on the podcast You Made It Weird with, what's his name?
Oh, Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to him forever.
I only listen when it's a... Now my shoe's untied. I only listen when...
You might as well just take those off.
It's a guest I'm interested in. And it seems like the representation of LGBTQ people in the media is a big... like a big thing for Billy Eichner. Like it's his big... what do you call it? What he cares about.
Like his passion
project. So it seems like that's probably what's behind the Poland.
Like this is a passion project, you're saying?
Yeah.
He's probably a big fan. I bet he was really influenced by him as well. I mean, he's kind of got a similar affect. Like, he does a persona, too.
Right.
That's not, you know, the way he's always screaming and stuff
on
Billy
right.
in the streets. Like, that's not, I'm sure that's not the way he talks all the time.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
No, he's great. I miss Billy in the Street.
Oh, it's so good. Anytime I just want to watch something that I know will make me smile and it's really low stakes, I just put on Billy in the Street.
I miss some Difficult People.
Oh, that was such
with
a
Julie
good show.
Klausner.
Did you see when he did on Billy on the Street? He was like, he asked people for, it's always for a dollar. And he was with Amy Poehler. He was like, for a dollar, look, it's Pitbull. No, it's Amy Poehler. And it was Amy Poehler wearing a Pitbull mask. It was just, it was so weird, but really funny.
Yeah.
And then some people didn't know who Amy Poehler was. And he was like, come on.
Yeah.
She's in the Angry Birds movie. It was like, it was really funny.
He's great. So since we're talking about casting news, John Hamm, the handsome John Hamm, is going to be playing the fictional detective Fletch in a remake of Fletch.
Really?
Have you ever seen Fletch?
I've not, but I know you were a pretty big Fletch fan for a minute there.
Yes.
That's Chevy Chase, right?
It's Chevy Chase's maybe his best work. That's actually, I'm going to take that back right away. It wasn't his best work, but it was his, you know how Chevy Chase is this sad story of he fucked up everything he ever had?
Yes.
It was his, like, franchise. It could have been, he could have done 10 of them. He could, like, he was like, it was, you know, he was the leading man in a lot of things, but this was like, he's a leading man and he's handsome and it's a little bit action-y.
Fletch is a detective, right?
Right, yeah, he's a
It was based on a book series.
No, I'm sorry, he's not a detective, he's an investigative journalist, but whatever. It's
investigative journalist, okay.
Yeah, but it's basically...
I thought he was like a private eye, I thought.
It's a comedic, you know, it's comedic noir.
Were the books, did the book strike that tone too, or did Chevy Chase bring that to the movies?
The books were, I only read the first book, which is what the first movie's based on. And the first book, it's more about like funny dialogue and it's more satirical. It's a little bit darker. What Chevy Chase brought was like, I'm going to dress up in costumes and
right.
shit like that.
Right. But, Chevy Chase's brand of humor,
right?
That we heard him yelling about on Dan Harmon's
right.
voicemail once.
I've actually seen him. He's been on Instagram lately, and you know,
Chevy.
Yeah, he seems like he's mellowed out a little bit.
Really,
he seems a little bit nicer.
He was. I mean, he's notoriously like a
yeah.
jerk off.
He's like famously a total asshole.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there supposed to be already like a Fletch reboot, like? In the early 2000s?
Well, for like a while in the late 90s, Kevin Smith was like attached.
He's got his hands in everything.
He was attached to... This is before I started making weird horror movies that no one watches. But he was attached to a Fletch reboot that he wanted...
Dane Cook?
No, he wanted Jason Lee.
Oh, that's...
And then for a while, like, there were rumors of it being... Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that would have been good.
It's interesting that it's going to be John Hamm because John Hamm is not in his 20s. You know what I mean? Like, he's like a man.
Yeah, he seems old for the role. Unless this is supposed to, like, pick up later in Fletch's life.
In the book, he could be older. So I don't think... I mean, if they're redoing the first movie and first book, I think he'd be good at it. And he also had, and because we've seen that he's funny, but he also has harder edges. So I think,
yeah,
just with the casting of him, you can see like this is going to be a little bit more like the book. Because it's not a straight up comedian.
He's a really good, but he is a great comedic actor.
Right. But if it were like, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you'd be like, all right, we know exactly what this is going to be. It's going to be more like the Chevy Chase one.
Right. Well, yeah, Ryan Reynolds will bring his own like brand of smarm
yes.
that he brings to Deadpool.
Right.
Probably.
And Pikachu. And his role in the last Fast and Furious thing. He's basically himself all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he is.
But I love it.
Fletch. What's it going to be called?
I think, well, the first book is just called Fletch.
Right.
So I imagine just Fletch.
Okay.
What's interesting is there's like 7 books or whatever, and there's 2 movies, but the original sequel movie isn't based on any other book. It's one of those things.
What's the sequel movie? Fletch Lives.
Fletch Lives, which is almost... it's stupider than the first movie, but it's like, it's just all Chevy Chase just being crazy. It's pretty fun.
Like broad comedy.
Yeah. Like, there's a crazy scene where he's got to like get this information from these bikers. So like he has to infiltrate this biker bar. So he goes dressed up like an uptight nerd. And then they all like are trying to, they're all going to like kick his ass. And then he's like, he says that he's like related to like Davidson of Harley Davidson, and they all like him. And I remember watching and thinking, well, if you're putting on a costume anyway, why would you create why create this hurdle for yourself of being the nerd? Like, just dress up like a like a fucking yeah. But anyway, there's also a weird scene where he wakes up next to a dead body, and you know, it's, which is like something you'd see in like a film noir.
Right.
But like he does some shtick with it. It's weird. It's weird.
I gotta watch these movies. Are they on streaming?
Oh, I don't know. I would suggest the Fletch movies to
real, like, would you really promote them?
I would. I think the Fletch movies are good.
Okay.
I think they're good. The first one has Gina Davis in it, really doing kind of nothing.
Gina Davis is a star.
You fucking bet she is.
What's she been up to?
She-Ra.
Oh, that's right.
And she also has like a like organization that works to like make animation for young girls or whatever.
She's really smart.
She's cool.
She's also a good person.
She's great. All right. So a book near and dear to both our hearts, Eleanor and Park,
yeah,
is finally getting a movie made.
Yes, I'm excited about this.
And there's a director attached to it. The author Rainbow Rowell shared it on social media saying that she's extremely delighted by the news. Let's see where I'm trying to see what I'm find. What I found, by the way, is a Vice article titled "Despite Racist Asian Tropes, YA Novels Film Adaptation Moves Ahead," and just a bunch of tweets about like when, like this is a tweet: how many times do Asians have to make us think about how Rainbow Rowell and specifically her book Eleanor Park are racist before white people will fucking listen to us?
It's been years since I've read that book, but nothing's coming to mind.
The character Park is, I believe he's Korean.
Well, and his mother's Korean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and the mother's dialogue is written in sort of a pidgin.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe the movie will handle it in a better way. I think it's a really good book.
And Rainbow Rowell is so progressive. I'm surprised she hasn't commented on that, or has she?
I'm not sure if she has.
The casting, though, is what I'm interested in.
I know. It has not. It is not. I'm seeing another article here. This is an excerpt from the movie. So from the book about Park's mother. His mom looked exactly like a doll. In The Wizard of Oz, the book, not the movie, Dorothy goes to his place called the Dainty China Country.
Oh, yeah.
And all the people are tiny and perfect.
Okay, I could see it. Now,
I could see it. And if you're offended, you're offended. But, yeah. You know, maybe the movie will do better. The director's name is Hikari. H-I-K-A-R-I.
Oh, okay. Yes. She has two names. Hikari.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as Mitsuyu Miyazaki. An award-winning writer, director, and producer. She's originally from Osaka, Japan. So
she's an Asian person.
She is. She is Japanese.
And she's a she.
So I think that'll be handled.
I hope so. I hope so. This is what Hikari said on Twitter. I fell in love with Eleanor and Park as soon as I read the first few pages and couldn't put it down until I finished the last page. I am so thrilled to be part of this journey with you at Rainbow Rowell. Let's go.
Oh, that's great. Okay, now, you know, it being a female director really makes me happy.
Me too.
I think, I don't want it to go the way of the Fault in Our Stars movie, which is not terrible, but it is one of those YA adaptations that I think is just so inferior to the book.
It's just so saccharine.
And it's so
the book, it has much more of an edge to it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I feel like it really didn't capture the book's tone at all.
No.
No,
it did not.
And Eleanor Park, my big concern for Eleanor Park has always been the casting, because the kids feel so authentic,
yeah,
that I really want them to be almost unknowns. Like, I want them to be real kid actors,
right,
teenagers.
Yeah, yeah. I think
It to be a 26-year-old playing a 16-year-old. And also, you know, Eleanor is fat, and I think that they need to cast a fat actress.
Well, you know, it was the rights. They tried to make a movie out of it, and it just wasn't going. And I'm glad that the rights went back to Rainbow Rowell. Because obviously she just keeps untying my shoes. Your dog. So last piece of news. Your dog untied my shoes, right? And then she went over and played on her own and was not bothering me. So then I went to tie my shoes again, and then she stared at me.
She wants them untied.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? And now she's back at my feet.
She's
like, these shoes stay untied. Right?
She's adorable.
Right? Say something. Thanks a lot.
She didn't say anything.
Does she bork? Does she bork?
Yeah, she barks.
Was she borking last night when it was a crazy storm?
Yeah, she woke me up barking last
night. I woke up just from the storm. It was bananas.
Did your dog bark?
No.
Yeah,
no.
She got really scared.
He's an asshole. I mean, I like him, but... Okay, so our last piece of news is Janine and Bill Gagliardi had a baby.
Yeah! Congratulations, Janine and Bill and Henry, for being a big brother.
Congratulations to the Gagliardis. More like the Bragliardis.
Exactly. They are such a... They are like the patrons of this podcast.
They are... Yes, they are.
They even got a shout-out from Rito.
You bet. You bet they did. What? Oh, my God. She jumped on me. What is... What's the new baby's name?
Pete.
Pete? Is it...
Pistol Peter.
Are they going to call him Pete, or is it going to be Peter?
It's Peter, I think. Well, I call him Pistol Pete.
Well,
I'm not sure if they want their children's name on this podcast.
No, well, Janine says Henry.
Okay, there you go.
So I doubt she'd be like, only one of my kids can have his name out. The other one I don't give a fuck about.
Yes, they had a baby, and he's beautiful.
Yes, he's very cute.
He's very cute, especially for a newborn. A lot of times they look like weird Play-Doh lumps. No, he's cute.
So since it's just you and me, no one else can hear us. What's with the super white names that they go for? Henry, Peter.
I told you that it's like the Fondas.
Yeah.
Henry and Peter.
Right. If they have girls now, they'll be Jane and Bridget. Yeah.
I think they like classic names.
Yeah. Your dog just lost her purchase.
She's so affectionate.
And she's slipping.
Maisie,
you are wild. You look like a cow.
She does. She's black and white spotted. Shih Tzu.
Oh my God.
She's just over a year old.
She jumped on me and now she's climbing up my body. Oh my God. I'm trying to record a podcast, Maisie.
She's like, we don't need to hear from everybody. God.
She's like another white guy with a podcast. Jeez.
What, do you have a second one coming out that's a limited series?
Oh, come on, guys. All right, let's take a break. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today with Anthony Buongiorno.
Hello, everyone. And with Maisie.
And with Buongiorno. Maisie, the dog.
Is she still chewing on your...
No, she's given up on that. She's now just rubbing her face into the...
the carpet.
Carpet.
Yeah, she likes to roll around on the carpet and...
She just likes to, yeah.
Rub her face and scratch her, rub her back and...
You're just chilling, huh? You're just vibing, huh?
Yeah.
You're just vibing, dog. Cute dog.
She's adorable.
She is adorable. How's life with a dog?
It's great. I gotta say, it's really great.
How long have you had her?
Just hit a year. July 14th was a year. She's done wonders for my mental health.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I don't know. Just, you know, when the world is making me crazy, there's always something that loves me and wants to cuddle me. And it's my Maisie.
That's my Maisie.
And also, I mean, it's... having her, I mean, I'm a teacher, so like during the summer I tend to like lose my days and lose structure.
Yeah.
So it's nice to like have to wake up because I gotta feed her and I gotta take her for a walk, and it's like being in the caretaker role provides some structure.
Yeah,
which is good. You know,
I have to tell you, since I don't teach anymore, I've been working during the summer, and I actually think it's great.
Really?
Like I would have thought before that I wouldn't want to give up my summer, but you know, I used to get depressed every summer. Every summer I'd have a depression. And
yeah, I get the summertime blues, definitely.
And like, I haven't. Like, I feel like that unmoored, untethered weirdness. Like
you're not living on the calendar as everyone else.
Right. Like, I don't feel that anymore. I feel like I'm actually still part of life.
I just, as somebody who is a teacher and who's never worked during the summer and always like, well, I mean, that's a lie. I worked before I was a teacher. I worked part-time jobs and stuff during the summer, but I always, I was still a student at that time. So I still, in some capacity, was always off in the summer. Yeah. I always felt like it was the worst death sentence. Like it was like, oh my God, can you imagine being one of those people that like has to put on a suit and go to work in this heat? My God, this heat. But now I get it. And I'm also like, you know, I'm getting old to feel like I need my summers off. So I actually, I was telling you before, I actually worked a little bit this summer, and that's been good.
But I tell you what, though, as a guy who only wears t-shirts and jeans, I still feel that way about suits. Like, I hate wearing suits. If I have to go to a wedding or a funeral, I hate it.
Well, I'll tell
you. Because let me tell you something.
They look great.
This might be a hot take. Suits are not made for fat people.
They're not. That's true.
And you have to. The only
Although I have a fat suit.
I mean, look at the president. He's a fat piece of shit. And and he's rich, and he's never had a suit that fits him or looks good on him.
No.
Because they don't look good on us.
He also can't tie his tie. His tie's always crazy long.
Yeah, I mean, he's an insane person.
Maisie.
Oh, my God.
She fell off my lap.
She fell.
You okay?
But you know what I mean? Fine. Like, it never. I always feel like a prisoner in.
I will say that I worked. I used to work as a waiter, and I worked in a place where I had to wear not a suit, but I had to wear a full shirt and tie every single day to serve food. I mean, it was disgusting, but you get used to it really quickly.
Yeah.
So I imagine wearing a suit is the same thing. Like, you just get used to it.
I guess if you have a nice one, whatever. I don't have any nice ones, but I don't know. My pudgy body really just feels most comfortable in, like, malleable clothing.
Well, yeah. Well, with a suit, whenever I have a suit on, I like the way it looks on me. I always love that. But I always feel like I can't fully relax because I'm going to, like, ruin it somehow.
No,
I'm going to wrinkle it, or, you know, I'm going to look like an idiot with a big crease for the rest of the night. So I just have to, like, always be very stiff when I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this has been Suit Talk.
So
brought to you by Suits on USA.
Isn't that the show? What's her name came
from? Meghan Markle. That's right.
Yeah.
No. Oh, is she not? She lost her title, right?
I don't know. I don't follow the royal family at all. I'm completely out of that loop. I guess that's a part of pop culture, and it's a part of pop culture I know nothing about.
I don't know much about it either.
Some people are super into it. Some people are
super, super into it. Especially over there.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah.
Yeah. I've never watched The Queen or The Crown, whatever it's called. Those are two different things, both about the same woman.
Those are not the same thing. So this is a chill sesh. This is a shesh where we chill. What are you chilling with?
I've been doing a decent amount of reading. I read a couple. I've been reading some YA. Some more YA. I'm always reading a YA book.
What you've been reading?
I read one that was really great and one that I felt about. The one that was really great is, let me pull up the author. It's a YA novel that's called Like a Love Story. Mm-hmm. And it takes place in the 80s, like everything else.
Sure, of course.
It's by Abdi Nazemian. And it's a coming-of-age tale, but it takes place in New York City in the 80s during the AIDS crisis.
Whoa.
That the setting kind of also frames a lot of the drama. And it's about the undying friendship between straight girls and gay boys, which,
nice.
You know, is a trope that is real. And it's got a lot of Madonna references in it.
Sure it does.
And, a lot of really great characters. It's really well written. I really loved it. It's a Stonewall honor book.
What does that mean?
Stonewall honors go to books that are of exceptional quality in illustrating or representing, like, LGBT.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like Stonewall from the Stonewall.
No, I get that, but I've never heard of it. I mean, I'm familiar with GLAAD and the GLAAD Awards and stuff.
I guess it's similar to the GLAAD Awards.
Do you remember, this is just, talk about context and the past. Do you remember that Chasing Amy won a GLAAD Award?
Okay.
And you now that's a movie that people consider so problematic.
You know what's so funny about that? I was actually reading about Chasing Amy just today for our minisode.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chasing Amy is, wow, what a movie. What a relic of the 90s.
Right. And it's like, I guess it won a GLAAD Award just because it has bisexual character, which he doesn't identify as bi.
That's the thing. The thing that's so frustrating about Chasing Amy when you watch it now is, like, I just feel like clearly she's bisexual, but the whole premise of the movie is based around the idea that she can either be straight or a lesbian, and that's it. Those are her two choices,
right?
And that she's having a hard time picking a lane, so to speak.
Right.
To choose, to like, as they would say it in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look back at it now, it's like, I don't know, we've come so far. Like,
yeah.
I feel like even mainstream characters now in shows and movies are like shown having relationships with men and women and just
yeah.
being whatever. But right. it's such, it's like the crux of the drama in Chasing Amy.
Right.
And it's like he can't. It's weird because then it's also tied up in slut shaming because he's right. okay with her being a lesbian because he feels like he turned her, the main character Holden. But then
right.
then he gets upset because he found out that she wasn't always she didn't always identify as a lesbian. She used to be very promiscuous when she was a teenager. Right.
And she had a threesome, and she had a threesome with, two men.
With two men. And that's really upsetting for him to have to deal with. And he's just an awful person. And
yeah.
Banky's a terrible character. And it's just a horrible
right.
movie. But it got a GLAAD award.
Yeah, it did. A lot of and a lot of early, I, you know, he's changed, which is good. He's grown. I don't like him still, but I mean, I loved him when I was a kid.
We both liked that movie when we were younger.
I liked, you know, like
all of his
Clerks,
yeah.
Mallrats, Dogma, all of that original stuff. Because I think when you're a kid, he speaks to you in some weird way. And this was before like Marvel movies, so this was like the idea of a cinematic universe was very novel.
Yeah,
which is something he got from comic books,
right? The Viewisk universe,
right? And but I kind of like I grew out of him, and now he makes weird TikToks with his daughter. But anyway, like a lot of his early stuff, like has homophobic humor.
Oh, it's a lot of homophobic.
Like Clark's
Chasing Amy is a lot of homophobic.
Yeah,
humor.
Although Chasing Amy, like they think. They think that they fix it by having the person who does all the homophobic humor being gay. But we don't even know that he's gay until Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. So it's like
they never explicitly say he's gay.
In Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, you see he has a male partner.
But that's... Yes.
But not in the
But
text,
not in
the
text.
Movie,
in
yeah.
Chasing Amy, I think it's... To me, it's really just more about jealousy.
Right. The only indication that he's... There's just... At the end, the crazy end is Ben Affleck's character to try to like even the score suggests that they have a three-way with his best friend and the best male friend, and the best male friend kind of looks interested in doing it, and that's the only indication that he might have some
that
you
he
know,
might be interested in Ben
right,
Affleck's
but
character.
Like does that really undo actually, like all the
it's very weird. And then also like not to hate too much on it, because we've shit on it and Kevin Smith a lot.
Yeah.
But even as a kid, I liked it a lot. But even back then, I realized that it's very tonally lopsided. Like, the
yeah.
first hour is really funny, and then the second hour is really heavy melodrama.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a really great script, either.
It's not a great movie.
I remember Janine Garofalo had a special, comedy special in the 90s, where she was like, I love Chasing Amy, and I wish that somebody would... give me that monologue that Ben Affleck gives to Joey
yeah.
Lauren Adams. I wonder if she still feels the same way. Probably not. That's such know. A 90s thing.
It's interesting.
Janine Garofalo also is just such a 90s
Isn't
thing.
Isn't she openly asexual, though?
I think now she identifies as asexual, yeah. But she has a partner. She has a partner, but I don't think they're... So she's not aromantic.
Right.
But she's... I believe she's a romantic asexual.
I saw her in a Whole Foods at like 1 in the morning.
Really?
And
I love her.
It was
in the city.
Yes. And it was just the two of us in this aisle, and she walked by me and I noticed her and I went, you're awesome. And then she looked at me and like put her hand on her chest like, who, me? And she was like, huh? And I was like, you're awesome. You're really great. And she was like, thank you. It was like so nice and
it was
real.
Because it wasn't her. It was a random woman that you just complimented.
It was Wendy Liebman.
You're also crazy high, and it was just a random woman with glasses on. No, she is great.
Yeah. I still think she's great. She's interesting, too, because she's also like not... She doesn't own a computer or a smartphone or...
I didn't know that.
It's very interesting. Yeah. She's now like comfortably a comedian's comedian. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't do specials very often.
Well, because she did enough acting work, I feel like, that she's kind of set.
Right.
Like, she doesn't have to.
But you don't really see her do acting work anymore either.
No, I mean, I told you I was watching, I just watched The West Wing, and she's on the last two seasons of The West Wing.
Well, she went on to, like, she had a weird change in, like, the early 2000s where she, became a political pundit. She was on Air America.
Air America, the gone, now gone,
yeah,
liberal radio station,
which I remember loving.
I remember my dad listening, having it on in the car all the time.
Mark Maron was on that.
Yeah.
Randy Rhodes and
yeah,
and I remember liking that. Yeah,
and I think Al Franken before he ran for office was on it,
maybe,
or maybe, yeah, I think it was before he ran for office.
Yeah,
yeah, but anyway, so you saw her?
Yes,
that's great.
Yeah, this was like a while ago. This was like around like Christmas ish or whatever.
Oh, this past year.
Yeah, this is like very recent.
She's all gray now, right?
No, her hair. No, she might have been. Sometimes she's blonde too.
This is not Janine Garofalo. I'm becoming increasingly convinced it was not.
No,
Janine
it was definitely Janine Garofalo. She's also very tattooed.
I know that.
Yeah, it was definitely Janine Garofalo.
How did we get on this topic? Oh, because we were talking about Chasing Amy.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway. So me and Jen put down a deposit for a cruise, not this October, but next October.
That's smart.
Because it's the cheapest, like, when they first, like, they just came out yesterday, the bookings. So it's never cheaper than when it first comes out.
Is it a Disney cruise?
Not only is it a Disney cruise.
Oh, my God. I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to go on a Disney cruise.
Not only is it a Disney cruise, it is Halloween on the High Seas in October, which has, like,
are you going to be on the boat for Halloween?
No, which we actually didn't want to be. We want it because
yeah, you want to be on land for that.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, it's early in October. I think we come back like the 24th.
What islands are you going to?
Just Bermuda.
Oh, I love Bermuda. You'll love Bermuda.
Yeah. But I'm more excited about the Halloween shit on the boat.
Well, that's the fun. Listen, a lot of people shit on cruising. Cruising in general.
I've never been on a cruise.
I've been on a few cruises. And I have to say, I unabashedly love cruising.
Right.
Because
when you say that, do you mean the movie with Al Pacino?
No, I don't love that. I've never seen that movie, actually. I love cruises. And I don't care how cheesy that makes me sound.
No.
Because the party starts the minute you get on the boat. It's like you get on the boat. Are you leaving out of New York or New Jersey?
Yeah, New York.
You get on the boat and right away you're partying. You're hanging out on the deck. You're checking out the pool. You're drinking. You're whatever. And then when I almost look like enjoy the days where you're at sea more than when you're at the location, because there's so many fun, like cheesy but fun things to do on the boat. Like they have activities, they have trivia, they have games. You could just hang out.
The way, because Jen's been on Disney cruises before, and the way she described it, she was like, imagine all like the great amenities of Disney, but without the rides.
Yes, that's
like,
what it is.
Like it's just eating, you know.
Well, I've never been on a Disney cruise, but it's, well, that's the thing. And that's the thing I was getting to is the food is really what makes it. Because the food is not great by any means,
but it's
always available.
Yeah.
And it is totally, like, you pay everything in advance. So you constantly can be eating something.
Yeah.
And you just like, huh, I think I want a snack. I'm going to go to the dining room and see what they got out on the buffet. And it's just 7 days of an open buffet.
Right.
It's great.
Right. If you heard my Epcot episode, I talked about how I took one of the most violent shits of my life in the in the land pavilion. That was the shit where I came out and I said to Jen, we better get out of here before they make me buy him a new toilet.
Oh my God.
And I hope to beat that on the Disney cruise.
Oh, you will. You will.
No, I'm totally with you. Like,
because it's like, and it's also 24 hours. So like, sometimes I'll be on a cruise and like at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be like, I want some shrimp. And then I just make my way down to the cafe and get it.
Yeah. Oh God. One time I was dating this girl who she worked in the music industry. So she had like this comped room at some casino, and casinos are crazy because like, even if it's like you're like, it's like a hotel over hell, the third, like the ninth ring of hell. Yeah. So it's like it's middle of the night and you're in your dark hotel room, but just down an elevator is just insanity.
I know.
And I like, she fell asleep, and at like 3 a.m. I was like, I want a milkshake. And I went and got a milkshake.
But imagine that, but there's no money changing hands. It's always, here you go, sir, totally free.
I mean,
it's not free because you paid for it, but it feels free.
Right. I can't fucking wait. Yeah, like Bermuda looks beautiful.
Bermuda is, it's a tropical.
Not Halloween-y. Like, tropical things are not the aesthetic of fall, and I'm we specifically wanted Halloween on the high seas.
Bermuda is not in the Caribbean. Bermuda is out in the middle of the Atlantic. It's actually like parallel with North Carolina. Right, but it's so not, it might not be like hot there, which is good.
Right.
It'll be like nice weather there. Like warm, but not hot.
But you don't think Bermuda when you think.
Oh, no, not
you think
at all.
Salem, Massachusetts when you think Halloween.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I'm still going to be beautiful, but basically it's 5 days, 2 days in Bermuda, 2 days at sea. And then the first day is Mickey's launch party.
That's
and
amazing.
It's going to be so great. And with the Halloween stuff, there's a costume party, but then there's adults only costume party.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How much of it is, because I've always wanted to do Disney cruise, but I've always been afraid that it's going to be too kiddie.
No, there's adult, even outside of Halloween, there's always adult only stuff, like adult only nightclubs. There's always adult only stuff.
Like Pleasure Island.
There will be kids around. Just like with Disney World. So if you're someone who doesn't like seeing and hearing children, you're not going to like it.
I wonder why Disney doesn't do like one cruise a year that's adult only. I bet you they'd get a decent amount of people who would...
That would like it. I have no idea. Because
there are so many adults who love Disney World.
Yeah.
Who don't have children or would go without their children.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm so excited about it.
That's awesome.
They also have like... and this is also outside of Halloween. They have like... I don't know. They call it Broadway quality, but they have like shows.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Everything is a little cheesy. But since it's Disney, it's going to be.
You want cheese. More You're fun. Buying cheese.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I've gone on like celebrity cruises, I've gone on like Norwegian cruises, and like the show is always like, it'll be like Havana Nights review, and it's like dancing, and then there's always a magic show, and then there's a comedy show. Like, right. Second City did one-on-one cruise that I was on. And it's great, but a little cheesy. But. Disney might be even better because it's almost like you're watching Fantasmic every night or something.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be Disney themed.
Right.
Which is really fun.
Have you seen on TikTok? You TikTok, right?
Yeah.
I've
figured out the algorithm. I know last time I was on here, I said I hated TikTok. Yeah. But now I've got the algorithm just right. So I'm getting nothing but good stuff.
And by the way, if you're listening to this and you like what you hear, check me out on TikTok at PCMCpod on TikTok. there's like a TikTok that's like, I've seen go around where it's like, or it's a sound that's going around that's like, we've heard of horse women and we've heard of sports guys, but have you heard of Disney adults? And it's supposed to like make fun of Disney adults, but I've completely accepted that I'm a Disney adult.
Yeah, I know. Nadia? Somebody on the last podcast said that you've turned into a complete shill for Disney.
She was like, how did it happen?
Well, I'm going to take you to task on that because... You're a way bigger Disney nerd than I am.
Yeah.
But I, for like a while there, was like going to Disney World a lot.
Yeah.
And you would give me quite a hard time about going to Disney World and say like, oh, how many times are you going to Disney World? Jeez, this guy gets on a plane to go on rides. What a loser. So I want a public apology.
First of all, let's talk about me saying this guy gets on a plane to go on rides. Because isn't that just vintage me?
It is.
Just glib asshole.
Yeah.
I apologize. Look, if you listen to the podcast, if you know anything about me.
You're always evolving.
Yeah. Before you know, I was a person in pain, spreading pain. So I'm sure I was just like, you know, I'm sure I was jealous that I didn't have the means to go myself, and I was just shitting on you.
I was just kidding.
But no, I'm so jealous that you went to fucking Disneyland Paris because that's the real like the crown jewels of like if you're a Disney nerd is like the international parks.
Yeah,
like
Tokyo Disney is supposed to be the best one, right?
Tokyo Disney Sea is like the greatest.
It's all ocean themed.
It's like there are different like docks.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
like there okay. are different like, you know, the different little things in Disney
yeah,
World, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. So Disney Sea. It's like the most technological advanced. It's crazy because like Disney like our Disneyland like has it shows its age in some places. Where it's like you look at like Tokyo Disney Sea and it's like everything is pristine and new and like state of the art. Yeah.
I felt that way even about Disneyland Paris. Like everything seemed newer.
Because it is. It is newer.
Yeah.
Disneyland Paris opened, I think, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Which
I don't know if you talked about it on the podcast, but I was just curious. What was your least favorite attraction in Disney World when you went?
Oh, it was I have talked about it. It was the Nemo
Oh,
Friends.
Yeah, we talked about this. And I say fuck you because I like that one.
Hey, you know, you could like a, you like an attraction.
There, you like Soarin'?
I enjoyed Soarin'.
I think Soarin's the most overrated attraction at Disney.
It is. You know what it is? You can see it is overrated. And you can see where at a time before Epcot had a lot going on where it would be probably the only thrilling thing in Epcot.
Yeah.
But now, like, Epcot has, like, you know, it's got, like, the Frozen ride and shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, but, yeah. You know, like, what do you call it? The Avatar ride.
I didn't go on that.
Flight of Passage. That's like a better version of Soarin'. It's very similar, but like fast and like scary and like.
Last time I went to Disney, that wasn't open.
It's the only reason to go to the Avatar Land. I mean, it's pretty, it's beautiful, but it's like I'm all like, wow. I imagine this looks just like it did in the film. I've not seen it, but I imagine. Boy, what a weird gamble. It's still it's the crazy. When you're there, you're like, how am I in a theme park based on a movie that no one cares about?
Or everybody saw but nobody cared about.
It made a lot of money, but boy, it's like it took no cultural impact at all. Like you go to a Comic-Con and it's like there's not a single person dressed like somebody from Avatar. I know. It's just...
I feel like it doesn't really have a fandom at all.
Right, it doesn't. But what's crazy is like... He's like, we're going to do 2 and 3. And it's like, what's going to happen when these things actually come out?
I think they're going to bomb. That's what I think.
I don't know. When's the last time you actually went to Disney?
2014 or something.
You got to go back. You got to see Galaxy's
2015.
Edge.
Yeah, I know. I do have to go back. I haven't been since any of that stuff opened.
Yeah. But yeah, I've never been on any cruise.
You'll like it. Yeah. I think you'll like it.
Well, yeah. I like the idea. I like amenities and like, you know, I'm older, like I do like the idea of just like, oh, I can eat and have a nice room,
yeah,
and like see things, like I like that,
right?
Like,
and I love like trivia game. I right. love that stuff.
If you told me as a kid it's like Disney without the rides, I'd be like, then what's the point? But now I'm like, oh, it's just the food and the atmosphere. Yeah. Sign me up.
That's awesome.
It's all I want. And of course, you know, I love Halloween and fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
I love Disney Halloween, so it's fucking...
Yeah. You're wearing a Sanderson Hocus Pocus shirt that
fucking,
I really like.
You fucking bet I am. You fucking bet I am. Yeah, you know, all year long, I plan the PCMC Halloween season.
Yeah, I do.
If you don't know, all October, every episode's a Halloween special. We do 4 Halloween specials.
Great.
And I've already got this year's mostly locked down and planned, so
God bless.
It's gonna be awesome. You know, much like Roseanne.
Oh boy, talk about problematic.
Yeah, much like Roseanne the television show, I'm all about the Halloween specials. Yeah. Did you see, speaking of Roseanne and ABC, did you see Tim Allen was trending on Twitter?
No. Why?
I don't know why, but then it became a thing of everyone tweeting, why is Tim Allen trending? And then people were like, is he dead? Is he not? And like,
it was just
a weird random thing.
Little blip. That is so weird.
He was just trending for no reason, and then he was trending because he was trending.
That happens a lot. I feel like a lot of times, like, there'll be an issue that's supposedly controversial on Twitter, but then when you search the hashtag, it's only people commenting on the whole thing and not actually using the hashtag.
Right, exactly.
Like, there was a whole article about, like, the, remember the Not My Ariel hashtag?
Yeah.
And that if you actually did a deep dive, it was all people saying, like, screw the people who say hashtag not my Ariel. Exactly. And it's like, well, who's actually saying Not My Ariel?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When is I was just thinking, when is that Little Mermaid movie coming out?
I don't
know. When is any movie coming out?
Didn't they just start, like, restart movies?
No, it's not. I mean, at least in New York, it's not.
I thought that was part of Phase 4.
No, well, Phase 4 was the last phase, but we're in a modified.
Well, we're in New York City, though. Right. I think New York State is in Phase 4.
But we're in Phase 4 too. We're just in a modified.
We're modified, which means it's not.
I don't know.
It's not anything.
I might be wrong, but I don't know if theaters are open anywhere. I know gyms aren't open.
I'm saying I think studios.
Oh, studios
were allowed
filming?
To reopen. Yeah.
Oh, I think they're filming.
I think that was part of Stage 4.
Yeah, I think filming has resumed.
Yeah,
but it's weird because it's like what's the Oscars going to be like this year? It's like a year without movies. Like, it's just like virtual. Everything's going to go to Troll World Store.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think about that.
It's weird. It's super weird.
Best picture, Trolls 2 World Tour.
Best adapted screenplay, Trolls 2 World Tour. World Tour. Yeah.
Good. It deserves everything.
I've never seen Trolls 1. I just rewatched the Back to the Future trilogy.
How's 3?
Let me tell you about 3. It's got real pacing issues.
Boring.
You know, it's not.
I've never been able to sit through 3, ever.
It's the worst one, for sure.
2 is also not great.
2 is not great, but 2 is at least fun. And 2 has this sort of breakneck speed, which makes 3 feel slower, because 3 is more about the characters and stuff. First of all, it's weird, because it's a trilogy that doesn't need to be a trilogy, because the fucking MacGuffin of both 2 and 3 are just have nothing to do with what 1's about.
Right.
1 is about this kid who's trying to get his mother and father to fall in love, which is a really interesting comedic idea.
Right.
But 2 is about Marty gets a book, an almanac of scores to place bets, but then the bad guy gets it, and the bad guy becomes rich and changes the future. And then 3 is about they find Doc is in the past, and they find out that Doc is killed by somebody, and he needs to go back to stop Doc from being killed. And Doc Brown is shot in the back over a matter of $50 by Buford Mad Dog Tannen. And because, like, he shooed Tannen's horse, and then the horse, the shoe, whatever. And then, like, I was watching it the other day, and Marty tells him, like, oh, he shoots you in the back. And they're like, oh, my God, we only have a few days to go back in time, and we have to fucking hijack a train and turn the train into a time machine. And it's like, why don't you just scrounge up 50 bucks and give... Why don't you just give Biff the money? Like, why don't you just, like, go up to him and be like, hey, I'm so sorry about all that. Here's $100 for your troubles. I'm going to double it. And then you won't get shot in the back.
Right. Also, how is his family on his father's side look like his mother?
Yeah, it's
very upsetting.
It's weird. Yeah, the whole, like,
the McFly thing.
Yeah, it's weird. 3's the worst, but
Mary Steenburgen is there. I mean,
yeah.
Talk about boring.
They, come on. Larry David finds her appealing. I love that
they're divorced on the show, but not in real life.
By the way, when I saw that episode, me and probably all of America Googled, are they really divorced?
It was just a plot device to get Ted to date Cheryl.
It's so crazy.
I know.
It's so crazy because they're not really divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that turn out? I haven't watched that show in seasons.
I'm way behind. There are two newer seasons, season 9 and 10. Season 9, I think, is not that good. But the last season that just ended, season 10, I thought was really good. The thing that's not good about it is, well, there's a few things that aren't good about it. I still think it's funny, but every episode is long now. So, like, every episode is like 40 minutes. And I
really
think it's, yeah, like, he's going long. And I think it's too much. Like, every episode you watch, I feel like there are lots of scenes that, like, could have been cut. Because I feel like comedy needs to be punchy, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like the Judd Apatow problem.
Yeah.
And also, he relies, like many other shows that are near the end of their run, he relies a lot on, like, guest stars.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's always, like, a big star who's like, I want to be on Curb. Since right. now Curb is like an institution that's been going on for like 20 years.
Yeah, it's crazy how it's like
yeah,
so old.
It's crazy because it premiered 20 years ago, but it's only in season 10.
Right.
So there are a lot of guest stars that come on, and sometimes they don't really work well in that world.
Yeah.
But I still think it's good, and now he's doing a season 11.
Wow.
It's interesting because a lot was written about, like, will Curb be able to survive the woke era?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And it's still got good ratings, and he seems to be doing well. I think it's just because Larry David is so openly like, oh, whatever, I don't give a fuck
about everything. Yeah.
And he even, like, they kind of, like, they make fun of Me Too on on Curb. Not that it should be made fun of, but, like, the running joke is that Jeff looks like Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of, like, women will just walk into a scene and be like, you monster. And then it'll be like, oh, I'm not Weinstein.
He played him in the movie.
He loves, because he looks like him. Yeah.
You monster.
Yeah. But he's still not woke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched like the first two episodes of, I guess, season 9.
The one with the fatwa. That's season 9.
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't like it. And I was heartbroken that I didn't like it, because I was like, I used to love this show, and I'm kind of like, what is happening?
I still love the old episodes. But he's still like, it's funny, some things never get resolved. Like, he's still chasing Cheryl. Like, in this past season, him and Cheryl had an affair. So mm-hmm. she cheated on Ted with him. And then he was like, we're going to get back together, right? I mean, like, I've always wanted us to be together. And she's like, yeah, I don't think so. And then they just don't get back together.
I remember when that season 9 came out, I read something that I really agreed with that was like it was kind of like the world in the show has changed.
It has.
Like, it's about him in the world, and it used to be about like how, like, he was right and the world was wrong with their sort of their rules and their nomenclature.
Right. Now it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Now it's like he's the fool,
right?
And the world is right.
Right, and he's more like a clown kind of a persona.
Also, I think a lot of the charm of the early seasons, or a lot of what like really made it work, was the fact that like, he was so successful from Seinfeld, but he was never in the public's eye. So, like,
people,
he was still kind of an everyman. And he would say, like, oh, I co-created Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And it would be like, you know, like, people wouldn't know who he was.
Right.
But now he's a celebrity in his own right.
Yeah.
So now it's like the show is supposed to reflect his real life, and everybody knows who Larry David is. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I still like Larry David as a
yeah.
comedic voice.
Yeah.
She
chewing something over there?
No, just her own asshole.
Okay, good. She was chewing the desk earlier.
Bad
girl.
She's
bad.
What do you got against desks?
She's very bad. She likes to gnaw on things.
Yeah, I'm talking right about you. Right to your face. How do you feel about that?
You know you were bad. Look at that face.
That's a face of someone who knows they were bad. Oh, I can't stay mad at you. Does she chew on stuff?
That's her one bad habit, and that's why earlier I knew something was up. If you notice, I was looking around, because when she's too quiet, it means she's
up to no
up
good.
To something, and she's usually chewing on something. Like, she'll chew on corners. It's bad. I don't. We get her. We have plenty of chew toys for her. She has all sorts of bones, but she still likes to chew things.
Yeah, she's sniffing the wood now.
She better stay away from it.
She's licking it. She's getting ready to chomp on it.
You got to push her away if she starts.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. You're Anthony Bongiorno.
Hello.
This is Obsessions, what we are currently obsessed with.
Are you really that obsessed with everything that you say you're obsessed
That's
with?
That's a great question. No, I do.
Quite simply, no.
No, to be 100 with you, they never catch me. They ain't gonna catch me. No, I am somebody who goes from pop culture obsession to pop culture obsession, but often they last longer than a week.
Yeah, so
you know what I mean? Like,
a week later, you're still obsessed.
Like, I can be obsessed with something for a longer time. But I do, obsessions for me is like, what is the thing right this second that I'm thinking about?
Yeah. No, I get it.
So right now, I'm obsessed with a book that I talked a little bit about in the last episode. It's called Pure Invention.
Pure Imagination.
Nope. Pure Invention, How Japan's Pop Culture Conquered the World by Matt Ault. And this book is, well, it's what the title said. And I'm about halfway through.
Is that an ebook on your phone?
No, I've just got, I read it on Kindle, but I've just got it open here.
Oh.
Just because I wanted to look
like
at
a PDF.
The chapters. Chapter one, which is called Tin Men, is about these little, like, toy jeeps that started in Japan and became huge in America, which I wasn't that familiar with. But then there's a chapter on the karaoke machine.
Oh, yeah.
and how that started and the history of that and how, the effect that then had here. And then actually, you know what? To be honest with you, it even though it kind of pretends like what it wants to do is talk about how it affects American culture, it really doesn't. It just always ends with, and then it came here. But it's about, it's really like...
how a lot of things originated there.
Yeah, but it's like, but it's got to be things that we also know. So it's like, it's kind of like the history of things that are popular here that started there. I'll tell you how they started.
Were they saying with that first one that like toy cars started, like Matchbox cars started there?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. I had a karaoke machine. I got it for Christmas one year.
Karaoke machines are, and it's still a big part of their culture. Like after work, like
karaoke parties.
Yeah, and but also like the single booths, like the private booths.
Oh, I've gone to a party recently.
Really?
In a, I don't know where it was, but like where it's like a private booth where you're all singing karaoke. Fun as hell. I remember I got the karaoke machine, the singing machine, I think it was called, and it was basically just like a big speaker with a microphone plugged in and a tape, double tape deck. And they would sell like cassettes that were just like popular songs without the lyrics.
Yeah.
And you'd sing along and have a ball.
The original, there's a couple different people that made karaoke machines like around the same time, which is how history always works with these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the first ones was basically just an 8-track player that they put a microphone on.
Okay.
And then there was another guy who like put lights on his.
Ooh.
Because before that, there was actually, I forget what they were called, but basically there was a trend in Japan where bands would play at bars and you'd come up and sing with the band.
Well, that's cool.
And when karaoke, one guy was so popular with it that he couldn't go everywhere that wanted him to play. So he came up with karaoke machines as like a way of like, here, this is because I can't come there.
Oh, I got you. Well, that's interesting.
But then all the other bands and artists were like, well, you're putting us out of business, which he kind of did.
Yeah,
scumbag. So that was a really interesting chapter.
Do you remember the karaoke machine I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do remember that.
We did share a room for the first...
many years of our
many
lives.
Years, yeah. But you were very clear about what toys were yours. Of course. And only yours.
Of course. do you... I don't want to hate on anybody, but don't you hate the karaokeer who really
takes
thinks
it
they're
really
good?
Serious. I know.
Yeah, who's like, I have a really good voice.
Well, listen.
And they always think that it's going to be like a mic drop moment. Oh, like, we're God. All going to be like, you really can sing, but it never happens way.
Yeah. I know.
It's like that. It's basically that scene in Girls where Marnie sings and it's just like
it's so
super
awkward.
Douchey.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say it's like the scene in Burlesque. Where
I've never seen Burlesque.
Well, you're missing out. Where Christina Aguilera starts singing and they're all like, my God,
oh,
the voice of an
God.
Angel. Listen,
I like fun,
so,
drunk, we're having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Karaoke.
The last episode I listened to was you and Rito, and you had a talk about Applebee's.
Yeah.
So I used to, as you know, I worked at an Applebee's for a few years, and we had karaoke night every Tuesday. And there was one, there were a few patrons who came in every Tuesday. And there was one guy who came in every single Tuesday, sat at the bar all night long, and sang Run Around Sue.
I love it.
But I'm talking, Mike, for like years, every week.
Good for him.
It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
No, that's awesome.
And you once made an appearance and you sang Pour Some Sugar on
Me.
That
was my song.
And it brought down the house because I remember you opened up a sugar packet and poured it over your head while you were singing.
My two songs, I did karaoke a lot in my 20s, and my two songs were Pour Some Sugar on Me and...
that song's about grapefruit.
you stole that joke. That was a Gilbert Godfrey joke. The other one was Everybody Loves Somebody Sometimes by Dean Martin. Okay. Depending on the scene that I was in.
Run Around Sue was always a big
That's
hit.
A good one. That's a good one. Yeah, but see, there were like fun karaoke songs like Teddy Bear by Elvis. Baby, let me be your teddy bear. Like, that's a good one. People love that one.
That party I went to recently, I brought down the house.
You're being very, very
what?
Cagey about this party.
No, it was because, to be honest, I don't remember who.
Oh, okay. You're
I remember
just a
who
dick.
Was for. I remember who was there, but I don't remember if it was somebody's party. Janine was there.
What a dick.
Janine and Bill were both there. They will tell you that I brought the house down with a rendition of And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going by Jennifer Holliday.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, from Dreamgirls. And you, you're gonna love me.
Love it.
Did they
sing?
Really, Yeah, everybody sang.
But Bill can really sing, though, right?
Yeah, so it's not fun when he does it. What a douchebag. Yeah. But I sang that.
And, not fun, Bill.
That was one of, I also sang, I go for broke, so I also sang I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Wow.
You know.
Wow, two showstoppers.
Power ballads, yeah.
Wow.
Even though I can't sing.
Well, that's the joy of
that's
it.
That's the fun, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love this book. Then there's another really cool chapter called The Culture of Cute, which is about...
Hello Kitty.
Yes, but it's about kawaii.
Like cute stuff?
Yeah, cute stuff.
Yeah.
Kawaii is the culture or an aesthetic of cuteness. It comes from Harajuku, Japan. And the interesting thing that this author does, which I don't know if other authors would agree with it, but in his history of kawaii, he tells the Hello Kitty story, but he weaves in Shigeru Miyamoto and Mario.
Ooh.
And he makes the point that Mario is kawaii.
Mario's
which
adorable,
I've never thought of
but
him.
But he is.
That's well, what, like, it's big eyes. It's cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he also makes the point that, which I had not thought of, is all the American video games that were popular didn't have characters like Mario. It was an interesting take on Mario that I'd never heard before.
That's why, like, I've talked before about how I have the Mario tattoo. And I'm not a big gamer, but it's because I just like the iconography of Mario. Well, like, I just think he's a cute character.
Well, it's like going back to what you were talking about before when Nadia asked me about Mickey Mouse. Like, I don't know everything about Mickey. I haven't seen every Mickey Mouse cartoon. I like Mickey Mouse.
You just like the aesthetic.
As an iconography.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the look of Mickey Mouse is just
appealing.
Well, because
also, like you were saying, he doesn't look anything like a mouse. He's just sort of like his own thing.
He's just his own
thing. I mean,
in
Hello Kitty, doesn't really look like a cat.
No.
Remember there was like Hello Kitty Gate a couple years ago where like somebody randomly said she's not actually a cat, she's a human.
Right.
And then the world exploded.
But then like she is a cat.
She is. I think they took it back later
on. But the
on.
Problem is because in the story now she has a cat.
Yeah, that's
and
upsetting.
That cat is much more looks like a real cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is weirder even than like Mickey, where
well,
like
I mean,
Mickey
that's a mouse with a dog.
Right, but also in
but
a
also
world,
Goofy's a dog.
Right, his best friend's also a dog.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jen was like, we were talking. Me and Jen were talking about this extensively, and she was saying like maybe Goofy's the first step in evolution of dog.
that's
why he's Goofy because he's only become bipedal recently. But
he is very uncoordinated.
Yeah, I mean all the Goofy sports ones are the best
They're
ones.
Great.
Like the Goofy,
Yo-ho-ho-y.
Yeah. So right, and that's why I like Disney Halloween because it's the Mickey iconography, but like slightly like bad because
he
looks like a vampire or whatever. Mm-hmm. But and right now I'm reading, I'm not through it yet, but I'm reading the chapter on the Walkman, Sony's Walkman, and the history of Sony, and it's so far.
Well,
it's
that's a Japanese company, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Gosh, the Sony Walkman. I mean, that's one of those things like Band-Aid or Tupperware, where
right.
like the one brand name became the name for the whole thing.
But as I'm reading the chapter, it's really make me think about like. Before the Walkman, the idea, we're so used to the idea of like I could put something in my ears
and hear
and
music.
Listen to music personally. That was so wildly different. And it was really a revolution in terms of like Marshall McLuhan, like media is the message. It was like a world changing, culture changing difference to have things like that. And they also make the point that headphones went from big to little, and now they're going big again.
Although now they're back to little with the AirPods.
Right, but you'd also spend hundreds of dollars
on
for
the big
Beats.
Yeah, those have kind of fallen out of popularity, though, ever since the AirPod. Which, AirPods are designed to be lost.
Yes.
Or accidentally, like, eaten swallowed.
But anyway, that's my obsession.
That's cool.
Pure invention. What is your obsession?
All right, so mine's a little... I guess, I don't know if it's weird, but... so this was like... something that I would have talked about in the chill sesh like a week ago, but now I feel like it's elevated up to an obsession.
That's how it works.
I've been rewatching, and I guess really watching for the first time with adult eyes, the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Interesting.
On Hulu.
Interesting.
Now, at first I was just like, huh, I want to revisit the show because I remember like liking it. I remember you and I used to watch Nick at Night.
Yeah.
I remember we were big Rhoda fans back
Rhoda.
In the day. And I liked Mary Tyler Moore, too.
I preferred Rhoda.
I think I preferred Rhoda, too, but I wanted to start with the original text.
Sure, of course.
In college, I remember I had a professor do a whole lesson about how it was in a TV class. Mary Tyler Moore is an example of one of those shows that has like a perfect pilot and a perfect finale.
Yeah, that's what I always. I don't think I've ever seen the finale, but I'm familiar with it being like the perfect pilot.
It's a perfect pilot and a classic finale.
What happens in the finale?
Spoiler alert. The big moment is like when they're all hugging and then somebody needs a tissue and they all walk as like a huddle to the tissues.
Yeah. A lot of times.
Yeah. But so I watched, I was like, oh, let me watch this. And it is a perfect pilot.
Yeah, it is.
And the reason why I got, why I even thought of watching again is I never realized it until I heard on a podcast that Tina Fey is a big Mary Tyler Moore fan and that 30 Rock is really like based on Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, you could see that.
And the original script for 30 Rock that they passed on that then was reworked, it was a news show.
Okay.
And some of that came in later with Great News, the show she did later.
Right.
So it was really like Mary Tyler Moore. And so like she's the Mary character, Jack Donaghy's the Lou Grant character.
Right.
Ted Baxter's the Jenna Maroney character.
Wow.
Sue Ann Nivens is like the Kenneth character. She has like her bald friend that's like her confidant. That's the Pete Hornberger character, Murray. Yeah. So there's someone for everyone.
I never thought of that.
And it's about a TV show about producing a TV show, but you don't really see the show.
Right.
So that's what got me even thinking about it. So I was like, oh, let me watch this pilot. And then I was like, let me watch a couple more. And I was like, you know, it's cheesy and it's old. I mean, it started in 1970.
Sure.
And I don't know. I just got sucked in. And now I'm just like, you know, it's not high stakes. It's not Game of Thrones, it's not Breaking Bad, whatever, but it's just pleasant to watch.
Well, remember when TV shows weren't like reading a huge book?
Right. It was just like every week is just like a 25-minute little play with these characters. And it's taking me a long time to get through it, though, because it's an old show, so it was like a million episodes per season, and the episodes are longer because it was fewer commercials back then. But it's got a great cast. I really love her. I've always loved her, but
I love Ted Knight.
I love all of them. I love Lou Grant, and she is serving looks 24/7. Her clothes are amazing, and so are Rhoda's. They're just both always wearing. I'm just really interested in that kind of stuff, like the like late 60s, early 70s fashion, and it's just like awesome. And I don't know, so it's become an obsession because I've also like started doing some reading about it and how it's considered to be like she's an icon of second wave feminism. And also, like, just how dumb American audiences were back then, because she was originally supposed to be a divorcee.
Yeah.
But then they were like, that's terrible. I don't want to support her for leaving a nice guy like Dick Van Dyke. I won't watch this show. And so they had to change it to
because she was in the Dick Van Dyke show. She played the wife.
The
but
wife.
It's a different character.
Right. But apparently test audiences thought that she was Laura Petrie and she left Dick Van Dyke.
Right. You know what? I still think people are fucking stupid.
Like so they changed it to that she was engaged but never married and then broke off the engagement.
Yeah.
In the pilot.
Interesting.
And then she's a single gal in her 30s through the whole show.
How many seasons is it?
Six.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
I'm in two. I'm in season two. Apparently, it only gets better from here. So I'm looking forward
to it. Is Betty White in it yet?
No. Betty White comes after Rhoda leaves.
I mean, Betty White is kind of like, she's kind of like a sultry kind of like, right? Isn't she like?
Yes.
Like she's supposed to be like a Martha Stewart in front of the screen, but behind the scenes she's like very into sex. And
yes.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why they wanted her to play Blanche on Golden Girls.
Right.
But she felt like that would be typecasting her.
Right.
So she wanted to play Rose. But it's funny now we think of her as like the Rose.
I know. And talk about Mary Tyler Moore is also responsible for what I consider to be the weirdest spinoff of all time. Lou Grant,
which was
an hour long drama
about him
as the same character. Coming from a half-hour sitcom.
Yeah, that is a weird...
But anyway, I'm really enjoying it, and it's just light watching, and now that I'm in the rhythm of it, like, it's almost like riding a bike. Like, you got to get used to watching old-fashioned sitcoms again, but now that I'm in the rhythm of it, like, I'm enjoying it, I'm chuckling, it's fun to watch, and I'm liking it.
What are your feelings on Murphy Brown?
Well, that's the other show that's always compared to Mary Tyler Moore. I've never seen a single episode of Murphy Brown.
What? How's that possible?
I know. And it's not on streaming for some reason.
I watched it as a kid. Where were you?
I remember our dad liking it and watching it. I remember saying, like, this is boring. I don't like it. And I didn't watch.
Well, it's so filled with, like, 90s political humor.
Yeah, it's it was like a political like a lot cartoon of Clinton jokes and stuff, right?
Like it's like Dan Quayle jokes, and it's like I don't get what this is.
Well, you know, I just said I didn't know the reason, but now I do. I just remembered part of the reason why it can't come to streaming is because it used a lot of music.
Yeah,
that they don't have the license for anymore because they didn't anticipate streaming.
Yeah, like I've heard,
so they'd have to re-soundtrack the whole thing,
right? Which they do to like
they did it to Dawson's Creek, and it really broke my heart. And
90210, it's like old weird incidental music.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
It is weird because I guess they didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, it's iconic.
It certainly is.
It makes me want to go see Minneapolis. I've never been to Minneapolis.
Me neither. I don't know anything about
maybe it. Maybe if I stay into it, maybe I'll watch Rhoda if that's streaming too.
Isn't, I think Wayne's World takes place in Minneapolis.
Yeah, because they do the, I think it takes place in Milwaukee because they do the Laverne and Shirley thing.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. All right. This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. You can follow at PCMC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. At PCMC Pod. Anthony, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.